2 Corinthians 6:14 says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" The first Thursday in May each year is designated as the National Day of Prayer. The Wikipedia entry says, quote, "The National Day of Prayer is celebrated by Americans of many religions, including Christians of many denominations, including Protestants and Catholics, as well as Sikhs, Muslims, Hindus, and Jews, reflecting the demographics of the United States," end quote. A day when the whole nation comes together to pray sounds like a good thing, but I've never participated in the rallies and gatherings because this so-called National Day of Prayer violates Scripture. For starters, we're told in various passages in God's Word that the Lord forbids His children to mix with false religions and false gods. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." Doesn't matter that they claim to believe in God or have a religion. And it seems like common sense, but we've learned that common sense isn't really common. So Paul goes on to ask a couple of simple questions. "For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" The obvious answer is none. We have no true fellowship or communion with anyone who rejects the biblical Jesus and the biblical gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, many evangelicals will join hands with unsaved liberals, unsaved Catholics, unsaved Freemasons, unsaved Mormons, and even unsaved Jews and Muslims on this National Day of Prayer. An ecumenical women's organization advertised to their followers that anyone of any faith can participate. In fact, over 40,000 prayer gatherings are held every year at churches, courthouses, mosques, synagogues, temples, and schools, end quote. But instead of calling for repentance of such an unbiblical combination of false religions with Christianity, these undiscerning apostates believe that it's all a good thing. But again, Paul asks in 2 Corinthians 6:15, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" The word infidel refers to anyone rejecting the biblical Jesus Christ and the biblical gospel. And then Paul asks this in 2 Corinthians 6:16, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As he hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Of course, if your church has a prayer meeting and it's born-again, Bible-believing preachers leading, and the purpose is a gathering of born-again Christians to pray, that wouldn't be a bad thing on any day, including the National Day of Prayer. But some seem to think that they're doing the wrong thing in large numbers, that somehow changes God's Word. Instead of humility and repentance, some of these National Day of Prayer gatherings seem to be a time to flex the ecumenical unity muscle right in God's face. Proverbs 16:5 says, "Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished." And this arrogant ecumenical attitude explains why so little is ever said of repentance of sin at these gatherings. Little is said about the sin of abortion, the sin of the so-called gay marriages, and the many other sins plaguing our nations at many, if not most, of these prayer gatherings. Some will, but most will not. They can't, or they'd ruin the spirit of unity at the gathering. And how many will call on President Biden to repent of his wickedness and to recant of his party's wicked agenda? Few, if any. I encourage you to pray. The Bible encourages us to pray without ceasing. Local churches hold prayer meetings all over the country. That'd be a great thing. But don't violate God's word in the name of prayer and expect anything more than we are already seeing resulting from such ecumenical false religious gatherings. We live in a day when serving the Lord faithfully means being the odd man out. So be it. Standing true to God's word, we can say with Jesus in John 8:29, "And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him."